I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission Monday, October 27th, 2014, to order and call on our county auditor, Rick Finley, to offer an opening prayer. Mr. Finley?
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and again, we thank you for the blessings you've given us. We are amazed that you continue to pour out blessings upon us. We know that your mercies are just abounding. We thank you for that. We pray, God, that you would just be with us and help us to be good stewards of the blessings you give us, and especially the blessing of knowing that we can have an eternal life. God, we pray that we'd be able to share that with others in a way to be pleasing to you. We thank you, God, for the opportunities we have to be stewards of your monies here in Taney County, and we just pray that you would just give us guidance in all that. Give us guidance in all the decisions that might be made today. Pray for those that would be making decisions for the state, for the country, and just lift those up to you, God, too, that they would be turning to you for the wisdom that they need to make those decisions. And we lift up those, God, that may need your healing hand or your comforting hand, and we know that you are the great healer and the great comforter. We pray that you just be with them. Thank you again for watching over us. These things we ask in your son's name. Amen.
Mr. Strahan, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Accounts payable. Gentlemen, we had held a check last week, number 341621. We've had discussions with the sewer district, and they have, in fact, explained what those questions were, and I have no problem with approving that check, and it is included in the checks waiting to be approved on our accounts payable sheet.
Move to approve checks number 341651 through 341705. Also, check number 341621, warrants 341706 through 341714, and one journal entry for paper usage and two transfers, one from transfer station to Road and Bridge and one from Parks to Road and Bridge.
Second.
Motion is made and second to approve checks numbers 341651 through 341705 and check number 341621, warrants 341706 and 341714 and three transfers. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Thank you. gentlemen, we have in front of us a proclamation. Proclaiming the month of November as Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. Proclamation by the Honorable Members of the County Commission of Taney County. Whereas in 2014, an estimated 46,420 people will be diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in the United States, and 39,590 will die from the disease. Whereas pancreatic cancer is one of the deadliest cancers, is currently the fourth leading cause of cancer death in the United States, and is projected to become the second by 2020. Whereas pancreatic cancer is the only major cancer with a 5-year relative survival rate in the single digits at just 6%. Whereas when symptoms of pancreatic cancer present themselves, it is generally late stage, and 73% of pancreatic cancer patients die within the first year of their diagnosis, while 94% of pancreatic cancer patients die within the first 5 years. Whereas approximately 860 deaths will occur in Missouri in 2014. Whereas the Recalcitrant Cancer Research Act was signed into law in 2012, which calls on the National Cancer Institute to develop a scientific frameworks or strategic plans for pancreatic cancer and other deadly cancers, which will help provide the strategic direction and guidance needed to make true progress against these diseases. Whereas the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network is the national organization serving the pancreatic cancer community in Taney County and nationwide through a comprehensive approach that includes public policy, research funding, patient services, and public awareness and education related to developing effective treatments and a cure for pancreatic cancer. Whereas the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network and its affiliates in Taney County support those patients currently battling pancreatic cancer, as well as to those who have lost their lives to the disease and are committed to nothing less than a cure. Whereas the good health and well-being of the residents of Taney County are enhanced as a direct result of increased awareness about pancreatic cancer and research into early detection, causes, and effective treatments. Therefore, be it resolved that we, the honorable members of the County Commission of Taney County, do hereby proclaim the month of November as Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. And this would be at the signature of all three county commissioners.
Move to approve the proclamation for Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month.
Second.
Motion's made and second to approve the proclamation for Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. I'm going to hold these back since there are seven to sign.
Oh.
Thank you, gentlemen. Grant of permanent and perpetual easement and right-of-way for public road. Mr. Hayes.
Good morning, gentlemen. This grant of easement you have here, this is for Copperhead Road, and it's for the purpose of a turnaround at the end of Copperhead Road. I've worked with the homeowner there to try to create a better place to turn around there. We've had a lot of trouble in the winter time at the end of this dead-end road. It's one I brought up to him during an update meeting several months ago. But he works out of town. It's been hard to get in touch with him.
Motion for approval of the perpetual easement to Copperhead Road. I have a question about it.
I do two. Is there a second? And then we can have discussion.
Second.
Go ahead.
Randy, before, I know that I think that this has been done administratively in other circumstances before, when we started looking at easements beside roads that we decided to take in, or improvements on roads where we had to go through several property owners. Is this something that the attorneys have asked for, is an approval through the commission to do so? And the reason I ask that is because there is a right for the county commission to refuse maintenance on a road if it doesn't meet certain standards. But I didn't know why this particular thing couldn't be done administratively.
It could be done administratively if you gentlemen want to. I mean, we can send that and have Frank review it, but he's reviewed our grant of easement form as to form. And but these are on existing county roads that don't meet our new road standards, but it's one that we work on periodically. And we've got several dead-end roads throughout the county that were, if we can work with the homeowner, try to create a better turnaround, it makes maintenance a lot easier on us, especially in the wintertime. And
well, since I've been on the commission, I know that any place where we had a school bus problem or a narrow road where there was difficulty in passing of even big trucks or something like that, that we have made improvements, and as you mentioned, there's several others throughout the county. I just didn't know if we were made aware of this through road and bridge updates, that we couldn't just go ahead and handle these things administratively through your signatures.
Well, one of the I brought up another one that'll be coming up when I get the easement signed, will be Mincy Lane, at the end of Mincy Lane, and we discussed that during an update. Had problems getting turned around there, and I'm working with the homeowners on that one, and actually have that one ready to go get signature. But as far as bringing it back in front of you, we have to bring the grant of easement in front of you, because you gentlemen have to accept the additional right-of-way per statute. It's got to have your gentleman's approval and signature so I can get it recorded.
Because it becomes a part of the county road system?
Correct. And somebody can't just write up an easement and give something to us without your gentleman's approval and acceptance of it. So that part I can't do administratively. That's something that does have to come before you. And that was a statute, I believe, around 2004. Robert Dixon could probably bring up that statute as far as having that recorded.
Let me add that you refer to the description with the paperwork that I have that is attached, and there is no description that's attached.
There should have been a description and everything with that. So
it says exhibit boundary survey in this easement document, and there's nothing.
So if you will, just make sure that gets added to it.
Okay.
Maybe it is upstairs, and then it just didn't get brought down.
Do you have a map on where it's going to be?
I didn't get time to get a map, but if you can bring it up, I can pinpoint the area if you got it up.
I've got it up.
Okay.
Why don't you come around it here? You can see it.
We did make a lot of improvements on Copperhead Road as far as taking some extremely sharp curves out of it.
Yeah, that was Cotton Rock. This is a road off of Cotton Rock. We worked on the years past,
right.
And this is Cotton Rock has several dead end roads. Zoom out just a little bit. It's right here. More maintenance stops right here, and that's where the turnaround.
What do you see turnaround, like a cul-de-sac at the end?
Actually, it's going to be more of a kind of a hammerhead type turnaround. There wasn't room in terrain.
Is there not room there already?
No. right here, we get down here, we're trying to turn around in the forest.
The screen.
And we got to work on drainage.
Touch
it right there.
Do it.
Actually, the turnaround will don't pull in it. Here, and we'll use it. I won't touch it.
Touch it. <again. laughs>
But it's in that area right there. We've had equipment hung up there, truck stuck, and everything else. So.
Motion has been made and seconded, or has it? I've been drinking.
It has.
To approve a grant of permanent perpetual easement and right-of-way for public road purposes and temporary construction easement for construction of public road improvements as herein described. Further discussion?
Yeah, I do have one more.
Go ahead, sir.
As you brought up on Cotton Rock and these others, the road didn't lay where the easement for it because the old fence rows were off to the side and didn't lay there. I can see where we would have to straighten those up and maybe have a, I don't even know whether it'd be a vacate process or what, but some of those places were probably 50 or 60 feet off of the.
This one actually laid fairly well. It just wasn't enough room to try to get stuff turned around. We're just creating a turnaround, basically,
right.
Is what this one involved. And Cotton Rock project itself was pretty much a realignment, and that was one of the cases, not enough right away to do any improvements on that and site distance, and we had to get clear site triangles and different things, and it made it a lot safer.
All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
I like how it goes from Copperhead to Bunny.
I don't name the
roads. I mean, the roads, now, I hope I grew up on Copperhead.
Uh-huh.
You get, a little boy would get made fun of if he lived on Bunny Road.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes.
Thank you.
You're welcome to stay there if you like. We're going to have Beth Schaller join us for a MoDOT update. Good morning.
Good morning. I've got that song stuck in my head now, that Copperhead Rock Road song. So.
I thought you were doing the bunny hop.
No.
What's the...
That'd be worse. Wrong? That's bad.
Is that all one?
It was all one.
Okay, whatever I do, I won't touch your screen.
Well, he'd say, zoom in, he'd touch it, and he'd...
Just blow it up.
Yeah.
Thought I'd start with a little update on the... 76 road project between 465 and 265. That's actually over in Stone County, but it has a direct effect on Taney County, so I thought I'd give you guys a little update. I think you're aware we're four-laning between the high road and 265 and eliminating that kind of nasty curve and putting in just a nice gentle sweeping curve there. They've opened up the new section of roadway. It's not complete, so it's basically functioning like a two-lane roadway right now, but we're in the process of paving and transitioning over to the intersection there at 265 and Stonebridge. The biggest challenge we probably had recently is just the fact that because we're in transition, we've got the signals set on a preset timing sequence because there is no detection in the pavement or no cameras to detect traffic, and so we've had the Silverdar City traffic on weekends because it's been so nice, so that's been a little bit of a challenge. But that shouldn't last too long. We should be through that in the next couple of weeks. So. But if you hear anything, that's kind of what's going on. We have the combination of construction along with some really good weekends for SDC, so we've had a little bit of traffic backups there. But that's coming along nicely. I think their actual completion by contract is next spring, but if the weather holds, they think they'll actually be done before mid-December. So that'll be good. We did bid the overlays for the repair work on 160 and 125 in eastern Taney County. Those bids were opened in October. The apparent low bidder was Jernigan Construction. We only received two bids, which is fairly typical. We had Jernigan and APAC. Unfortunately, the bid came in quite a bit higher than our estimate. They were at about $2.7 million. Our estimate was at about $2.1 million. That's 30% over. I'm not sure where we're at as far as deciding whether to award or not. I know we had other projects in the letting that came in below, so I think on a budget standpoint, we probably can afford to make that commitment, but it is 30% over what we had estimated. I'm told by our design people that we have gone with a more conservative asphalt design, because that's one of the reasons we had failure back last year when they laid that in October. And so that's probably one of the reasons that the cost is higher, too, because we've gone with a better, more restrictive mix design. So I think they've figured that into their costs. So, and that was on 160 from Route O to the southern junction of 125, and then 125 from 76 down to the Arkansas line. And that would be work for next summer.
It's quite a stretch.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a fairly large project when we did it. Unfortunately, we had raveling of the asphalt almost immediately. I think the weather had a lot to do with it because we've used the same mix design in lots of other areas and didn't have an issue. But unfortunately, I think we had just pushed the limits, and we found out what those limits were. And because of that, we have made changes to our mix design that, you know, it always takes a little while to get all that stuff incorporated. So the mix design has been updated for this year, the following year. So. And it's going to be reflected probably in our bid prices. So, haven't heard much on the Bull Shoals Bridge. As far as I know, everything's going fine. No news is good news. We're still on track for 2017. And that project's about an $8.3 million project in total. We do have a safety project planned for 65 at Saddlebrook. As you come down that hill, we've got that wide sweeping curve that we still have issues with people running off the curve. So we're trying a new treatment for us. We've used it in a couple of areas within the state, and it's been used in various locations throughout the U.S. with really good results. It's a high friction surface treatment, similar to a very high-end chip seal as far as the application. The product is actually a really high friction product that's applied to a bonding agent that's put onto the roadway. So it looks like a chip seal. You know, you spray on a product and then you follow it up with the high friction product that causes the road to have a really high friction with your tires. And so we're going to put that on both curves on 65, and that will bid next month. And provided that bids come in reasonable, we'll award that, and that construction will happen next year. Any questions?
Wait a second.
One of the other things we've got going internally is I got a note from maintenance that they are going to work on the box culvert there at 76 near Lakeshore, the narrow box culvert that we get a lot of complaints about. They're going to try to get in and do that work the first week of November.
This is where the flooding occurs on up, or am I?
No, this is as you're going downhill towards Lakeshore on 76.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Right. Okay.
It's one of those things that it comes to me so often that I think everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about. But on 76, as you're going towards Branson, downhill towards Lakeshore, we have a very narrow box culvert.
Right.
I get a lot of calls about people getting very nervous with that location. And so what we're doing is we're coming in and trying to improve the head walls and kind of widen that out just a little bit so we can at least maintain the asphalt roadway structure, because right now it looks like, you know, it just looks bad. So we're going to try to improve the look and the function through there. And I think that's all as far as construction goes. Obviously, we're right in kind of finishing up the mow-outs for the year. Haven't heard anything significant on that. I know that should be going well. And we'll be entering into the winter season. We'll have our winter snow drill next week. That's when we get everybody out and kind of practice and make sure that everything looks like it's working right. So look at all the equipment, make sure the communications are working correctly, and just do a little emergency drill just to make sure everybody's on board. two other things that I've got going that I kind of need some feedback from you guys. Is one, I talked to our right-of-way department recently about Ridgedale Road. We have been approached by Big Cedar to make improvements at their entrance on 86, and they are currently looking at a roundabout improvement that would be at their entrance and at Ridgedale. I asked our right-of-way department to look at that because I wasn't sure who owned Ridgedale, and it appears that that we own it, but you guys maintain it. And they told me it's an agreement that dates clear back to the 1980s or 70s. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the agreement yet, but I was told that. So I didn't know if that was something that you wanted to consider ownership of, if you're already maintaining it or not. But that came up in discussions. And then as a consequence of that, our right-of-way agent also asked me about a roadway relinquishment agreement that dated back to when we four-laned 65. And apparently we had an agreement with the county, and then you guys put a moratorium on accepting new roadways, and so the agreement's just languishing there. We had several roadways that were supposed to have gone over to the county that never have. So.
Are you saying you'd like to have some of those roads back that the state gave the county?
We haven't given them to the county. That's the problem.
No, I'm talking about previous.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying that it's my understanding we have an old agreement that the county was supposed to take over some outer roads that resulted in the construction of 65, and that it's my understanding that because of the moratorium that was placed on accepting new roadways, that agreement basically just
Do you think that was in the 80s?
No.
That was much more recent.
Much more recent.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the Ridgedale actually dates back much farther for some reason. I'm not sure why.
Can you help me, my edification, pinpoint when that was, and can you help me find when that was and a copy of whatever that moratorium stated? Just help me search.
Old 65, yeah. I think it was in the 90s when they got 65 completed, two-lane. Then they four-laned it after that, but we were already maintaining Ridgedale Road and a lot of the old parts of 65.
Yeah, but I don't remember a moratorium that was imposed back in the 90s either.
No, I don't remember that.
No, that's a separate issue. I'm just saying that when I brought up Ridgedale with our right-of-way agent, she said, by the way, we have these additional roadways that we own and maintain, but we have an agreement with Taney County that they were supposed to take over ownership and maintenance.
But can you help me pinpoint when that was so
yeah.
I can find it within our record?
I wasn't sure. The reason I'm bringing it up at the meeting was I wasn't sure if I needed work through Randy or through one of you guys to try to
If you
to
work
get
with
this.
Randy, I'd okay. sure like to. He'll put it together for us.
Okay.
We can take a look at all that.
Okay. My other concern, and this has been brought up a couple of times in the your Transportation Advisory Board meeting, is at 248 in Buchanan Road. That's where the school is at, Branson School. I did talk to the superintendent the other day on a separate issue, and he said that if we could set up a meeting with the county and probably the city of Branson, that he would be willing to discuss future improvements at that location. You know, no commitments on his part, but we just need to start discussions to see if there are improvements that we do want to make there, and if so, what those would be. So I didn't know, again, what type of commitment I need from the county. I talked to Randy. He said probably run it by you guys to see.
I'm all for us sitting down and having a discussion regarding mm-hmm. that location. It's one that needs to seriously be looked at.
It's on the advisory board's list
yes.
of projects and has been for, I think, ever since we established the advisory board to discuss it. I know that the superintendent came before the county commission, discussed widening of that because of the increased school traffic, and it was a great concern to them at that time, and actually they've added the other school on the other side of the road since then, so we need to probably look at that, and I know that I've brought that up a couple of different times on properties, as we've talked about, and so
Beth could also work with Randy on that, and he could work with our ladies upstairs to put it all together with all the parties.
I'd like to do that. I'd like to also put that in on a list of possible grants that we might look for. And the way I understood before, that the Tiger Grants had, we haven't applied for a year or two. The last one we applied for was East-West Corridor. And so that might be something. The way I understood the conversation is that the more partners you have, the more likely you are to receive a Tiger Grant. And with the schools, and I don't know whether the School Safety Act is still in place or not, but
the Safe Routes to School program no longer exists as a separate entity. We have a pool of funds for federal funds that are used towards various projects, and that transportation enhancements projects, those applications are due in mid-November. So we're probably a little behind as far as getting something for that. Those tend to be, I'll be honest, those tend to be sidewalk projects. We do other projects also, but it tends to be, because we try to, there's not a lot of money in that pool of funds, and so we try to select projects where we can get as many projects as possible and touch as many entities as we can.
What I would like to look at, though, is a safety issue for Branson Schools is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And when no one thought that Cassville could get their road expansion project through where the school was at, and whenever the Tiger Grants came out, and I think Cherry Warren and those boys applied for one and actually got the state to widen that district there that goes directly in front of the school, the road and everything. The state was involved in that. I think there was federal monies involved in that also.
That may have been some Safe Routes to School funds.
Right,
at the time.
When we had discussion about the East-West Corridor, there was $1 million that was set.
Now, Tiger Grants are different than Transportation Enhancement.
Right.
Because Tiger Grants are national competition, where Transportation Enhancement is just within the district.
Right. And I understand that, but I'm looking for all avenues to look at Buchanan road situation, because it is an addition of more schools and more activities in that area on weekends, when you have all the baseball, soccer, basketball, and everything that goes on that they're having at those locations. It's a mess out there. So safety-wise, well, I'd just like to look at all of it and have...
One of the commissioners I served with in NACO from El Paso County, Colorado, they just went after a Tiger Grant. They had been working with other entities for about 3 years and got nowhere on a major project. Applied singly as a single source application, were just awarded a huge amount of money to address an issue that was there. There are counties that are receiving awards through Tiger now, which is a lot more encouraging than it was over the course of the last 2 or 3 years. So I agree, we need to look at all areas, but if you would work with Randy to work with us and work into our agenda, I'd be delighted to sit down and have that conversation now.
Okay. My question is, because I'm not that familiar with your guys' structure, I apologize. Is this a meeting that we need to have all the commissioners at, or?
We don't have to have.
Okay. Well, I know we're going to have to coordinate several parties, and that's just why I'm asking.
I think that posting it and having the superintendent and the state be the
city.
The city be the people that make the presentation would be great. I think that it's a serious enough issue that we need to do something.
Well, maybe her specific question, Dan, is do we want to start with one commissioner and then work up to three? Is that where you're
going? Because we normally start, this is just start and talk, so this is more of a working meeting.
Would it be appropriate to have Brandon, since it falls over?
Yeah, just set him in there.
When he came and made the presentation, Branson Schools, he had already had a PowerPoint and did a PowerPoint presentation to the county commission. So, I mean, that's a good starting place right there for discussions, is what they had laid out.
Yeah, he's loaded. He's ready to have input.
Okay. Well, that was my question. I wasn't sure how to pursue that. And then I had mentioned to Commissioner Williams that I do have we had a concern brought to us by the commissioner regarding Business 65 and the entrance to the College of the Ozarks. Mm-hmm. They asked us to look at that, met with Commissioner and Dr. Keeter, and I've also talked to Rick Ziegenfuss with the city. We've put together some cost estimates on that, and I'm going to follow up with that this week and kind of see where we're going to fall with that, because we've got a broad spectrum of possible improvements, and we'll follow through with that and see where we're at. You mentioned when we started talking about the Branson schools, we did meet our traffic engineer for this area, met with the Hollister schools last week. They had a concern about the need for a crosswalk near the school, and he met with them, and excuse me, I think they are pursuing the transportation enhancement grants, and I think they're going to try to include his recommendations within their grant application, because they were looking at some sidewalk improvements, but I don't know the sidewalk improvements actually also included a crosswalk, and they've got a crosswalk concern, and so I think they're going to try to include that in their grant application. So just FYI.
When they apply for a grant, are they applying for a state enhancement grant or federally funded?
We administer, but it's federal money.
Okay.
It's federal money that's we're similar to DNR has to administer EPA funds. Well, sometimes we have to administer federal highway. They're 100% federal highway funds, but we do all the paperwork and make sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, and our district will have a group of citizens that get together and actually go through the grant applications, and we award the grants based on those applications. So we don't actually, as staff, we don't vote. We actually ask people nominated by the RPCs to vote. But we administer, once those grants are awarded, then we administer the grant process. We all the way from the award all the way through to construction award and inspection and the final paperwork.
Is there going to be another, because I'm full of questions this morning, I guess, but did you?
I was disappointed last time.
So. Were you? I don't want to disappoint.
I was.
Anyway, is there going to be another tax proposal presented by the state for improvement of highways? Do you look for that?
I am not aware of what direction we're headed right now. They said that they, we're just regrouping, focusing on our core values for MoDOT, and we will, deal and work with the legislature. The one thing that has been said repeatedly is we need to make sure that we have all entities on board next time for whatever we do. I think it was, the governor came out and made everyone aware that he was opposed to Amendment 7, so I know that they're going to work towards something that has all parties on board next time. That's really the only thing I've been told.
I think it was and that's just personal opinion, a terrible mistake to cut the percentage down to a 3/4 cent and leave out the additional monies for counties and cities that was taken out of the proposal. I know that when we think about taxing issues, as we did on our judicial facility and other issues that's came before the public, you try to put the least amount sometimes because you think it's more likely to pass, but I think in this case, if you'd have left it at 1% instead of going to 3/4 and it included your local cities and counties, that you would have come a lot closer to having it pass. That's just a personal opinion of mine. I just believe it would have been.
Yeah. And I don't know, it. We only had a few counties in the very northern part of the state where it actually did pass, but it failed miserably in the St. Louis area, and considering the large populace and the large amount of vote there, even if it had passed in the rest of the state, it still would have failed. So I'm not sure what was behind that, but that's something that obviously, if it goes to another state vote, that obviously will have to be addressed too, is what is the issue in the St. Louis area. So
I think the issue is it's a tax increase at a very unpopular time for tax increases. That's just...
Yeah, but I think we had legislation, you know, put before us that tried to bring it down to a local level, but I don't think it came across that way, because you can pass a local tax, but it seems like it's very hard to pass a state tax. And so maybe that's the issue, is we need to have something that can be consumed on a local level and more related to the voters on a local level, but I'm not sure, you know, which direction we'll head. So I've heard lots of different proposals, but I haven't heard, you know, obviously,
let me,
that being outside
let
the legislative
Let me explore what
session.
You're talking about, because I'm not sure.
Okay.
You weren't talking about a regional area being represented by a tax when the rest of the state was not.
No, but we did have a regional list, and so I think that was the approach, was to try to make it as local as possible so that people weren't afraid that all their money was going to go somewhere else.
Have you ever considered a... Let me re-ask that. Do you think that the powers that be have considered such a theory, that they might do it in a patchwork fashion, pick a region,
mm-hmm.
that region, those counties work together, for example,
mm-hmm.
To
I know
solve
it has
the problems
been looked,
within that parochial area?
I can't comment on what the legislature has looked at, and I mean, obviously, it's a legislative issue. I know it has been looked at and even voted on in other states. We looked at a Georgia model because we thought, well, that sounds really cool, and then it did not pass in Georgia, which they were anticipating that by using a regional approach that it would pass, and it did not. So I'm not sure, I'm not aware of the follow-up on that, because it passed in like 3 out of 10 regions or something up to that effect, so I'm not sure what Georgia ended up doing. But, you know, we had high hopes that maybe something like that would pass and would be a model for Missouri, but since it didn't, I think that it wasn't picked up by our legislatures, because it didn't pass in Georgia, I don't know. But it has been looked at. I haven't heard a lot of talk about it recently or something like that recently. There was some talk when they went around 2 or 3 years ago and they had the Blue Ribbon Committee, and the legislature came and met with people in each region and asked them what they wanted, and I know there were some presentations made at that time, and one of those that was on the table was a regional approach. So, but beyond that, I haven't heard anything. Lots of different things. You know, the legislatures are throwing out, you know, sales tax, gas tax, combination, you know, fees instead of taxes, you know, different combinations of those things. Trying to, you know, back off on one tax and increase another tax. This the typical scenarios that you see anytime we're looking at funding for anything, to be honest. So I'm not sure what will, you know, gain ground next legislative session. We just really haven't heard a direction yet. So we will see.
Randy, do you have any thoughts or questions?
I don't know.
I was going to ask about weed eradication, but
I figure that has probably been an issue that you've had to deal with the long no frost kill.
I'm sorry.
I've seen some rosettes this big along the side of some of our roads.
That's something that I think you've lucked out on because of, I mean, we're almost 3 weeks later than, and they don't have projected in the next week or
any
so,
frost.
Even a frost. So the grass is growing like crazy. I know we deal with it with the county. So
I know. We're trying to do final mow out. Normally, final mow out would be pretty permanent until next spring, and I'm not sure we're not going to have fescue trying to make a comeback. So we'll see. I haven't talked to the maintenance crews recently.
Thanks for bringing that up,
Brandon. See how aggressive
that was a joke.
Herbicide. I know.
You don't have to.
You just gave Danny an opening. That's
I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. It backfired.
Don't try to make fun of me, Brandon. I'll make it serious right quick.
And vice versa, I'm sure.
Beth, do you have anything else?
I think that's it. I've talked more today than I have probably in the last three sessions. So.
Yeah, but it was good. Appreciate you very much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for being here today.
All right, I will get with Randy on those other two issues.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Chuck, if you could join us, assessor's office request. You had a request of us last week regarding additional funding or substitute funding for funding that hadn't come from the state. And as I read in the paper, it looks like we may be receiving that funding if the article was.
Yes, sir.
On point.
Since I spoke to you, I visited again with Jan Elliott. I believe that was on Thursday. And I sent you all a copy, forwarded you a copy of a memo of understanding. Did you all get that okay?
Yes.
Okay.
I did anyway.
When I asked the question, November 4th was the date that they said should be around November 4th, I believe was the word she used, that we should get our funding. There is always the if in there, should, not shall. And so I would again ask you to approve contingent on the need that it does not come through, their funding does not get here. I would ask you to approve on the need. I'd said 75,000, but it's probably closer to 80,000, which would cover two payrolls, which has to do with the fact that after that, the funding from the collector's office should be coming in. To answer any questions. There is, I had made the request, I don't know if I'd mentioned that before, but I made the request that they release the first quarter fundings, which is like $88,000, and then hold the second quarter until they were satisfied with the action on the commercial real estate. We're working to their request. And Jim Kyle will be back down Friday to do his part in that and working with him.
Well, help me understand something. First, it's not my intention to see us close the office, and I have said that before, and I will say that again, and I said that to the previous assessor. It's my intention to make sure that funding is available, that employees are paid for providing services to the constituents of the county. You're thinking we may receive parcel funding contingent upon the state seeing whether or not we're in line with what the state wants us to do?
Now, let me
try. Okay, I don't mean to put words in your mouth. I'm trying to understand what you said.
They have given a verbal commitment. Now they've given a written commitment. Number five says, upon all signatures, the State Tax Commission will release Taney County's first quarter reimbursement funds, $88,062. So those are coming. I've signed the form. And
what is the form?
The memo of understanding that we spoke of earlier.
For the edification of those that are listening, what is the form?
It is a memo of understanding between the State Tax Commission and myself. So those are the funds I was speaking of that should be around, should be here around November 4th.
Which is next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Do you anticipate that between now and next Tuesday you may need any part of that funding?
Not before then, no. But November 7th will be another payday, payroll. And if for whatever reason that might happen, we don't have the funding. And that's why I'm asking again if you all would contingent on the need. If the need, if the State Tax Commission funding comes in, we won't have the need of GCR funds. But if you would make make a vote to approve it if needed, so that we're not obligating the need for funding without it being there. I trust that the county will do that if they vote today to do that. It's there, I assume.
I trust the county will do that whether they vote today to do it or not.
Okay, well, maybe I don't need to be here. Somebody made a suggestion, just go on, but I didn't feel like that was the right thing to do, so I'm coming to you asking.
But I wanted to go back to what you said a minute ago that I didn't understand. You said there was another payment that might come after they looked at our commercial. What helped me with that?
We're due two payments, first quarter and second quarter. First okay. quarter's $88,000, second quarter's $45,000. They are not, this memo of understanding, this agreement, is to release those first quarter funding because I asked them to do that. Jan used the word collateral. They're using that second quarter funding as collateral that I will complete what they want me to do on commercial properties. They're satisfied. In the memo of understanding, it talks about the residential situation. And they're satisfied with that, and that's why they're willing to release those monies. So the second quarter, they are not satisfied with the commercial index, and that's what they're talking about. So I said, if you would release that first quarter funding, that gets us off the hook for this year. We'll have collector's monies coming in, and you can hold that second. They could hold that second quarter funding until June of next year, and as long as they send it before June 30th or whatever, we won't lose that money like
right.
we have.
Or they
in the past.
Could reimburse it based upon something you're going to do with commercial property.
They could release it in maybe as early, hopefully in 3 weeks, but they may not.
Now they had released obviously $138,000, which the county had received. Did they release that because we were in compliance?
No.
Or because it was just goodwill from the State Tax Commission?
No, we were not in compliance at that point. I'd like to think that they had confidence that I was doing the job well enough that they felt comfortable to release it. But we were not in compliance.
Do you think we will be in compliance with whatever it is that they requested for you to do with commercial property? I'm just looking for what the future is going to hold for whether or not we'll have reimbursements from the state.
It's a good thing to look at, Ron.
Thank
I
you.
Agree. That my experience is that it's never going to be a comfortable situation with that. I mean, each year, even counties that have not been through the battles that we have been through, you're probably aware, but we got like 46,000 plus properties, and they pull the compliance part of it comes out of a study on 30 properties, residential, 30 properties, commercial. So it's a pretty tough thing because they study you on 30 properties of 46,000. And James argued this in years past, and it's a good argument. And they pull 30 properties and they do an appraisal, a specific appraisal on those 30 properties. If you miss, if you're not in the 90 to 110% on those 30 parcels, you're out of compliance. And so you can go through things like we're doing right now on the commercial to see if we can satisfy them that we're doing things well enough to correct that. But you're going to be out of compliance. Period. We're out of compliance. We didn't pass on those 30 tests. And so you do the best you can. But to your point, and excuse me if I rattled on there, we're always going to battle them, I believe. I mean, it's just going to be an ever-ending fight. Counties fight. I think Stone County, visited with them at the conference of the day. They're out on one of the two. And so they're having to go through the same issues that we do. It's just a never-ending thing. Because that's the way they judge us to see whether we're doing our job right, is they pull 30 residential, 30 commercial, and they have a guy from the state coming down and does his own appraisal on them. Not mass appraisal like we do on everything else, which is a gripe, because it doesn't seem fair that we have to do it on a mass appraisal, but they test us in a different way. So.
But the only way, if they find us to be non-compliant, for us to become compliant, is for changes to be made. I guess my specific question is, when they point out to you that there's non-compliance, are you making those changes that will put us into compliance? Where do we expect to be going from this point, I guess?
There'll not be another test on commercial to be in compliance or out for 4 years. They do commercial every 4 years, they do residential every 2 years.
So we won't receive any funding for 4 years?
No. To my understanding, there's nothing we can do to get in compliance. I mean, they won't do another test to make us compliant. We can only do the things that they believe that will be required in order for us to be in compliance when they test us next time. They test you every 4 years on commercial, so we don't have the opportunity to, quote, be in compliance. We only have an opportunity to work with them and do the things that convinces them that in 4 years we will be compliant.
So the possibility exists we may not see state funding for 4 years.
No, sir.
That's not a possibility.
Yeah, it's a possibility. But what I'm trying to say is we're not compliant.
I understand.
Period. So they're saying you need to do X, Y, Z, change your index, look at your land values, all the different things. If they trust, just like the 138 that we got last year, if they trust that we're doing those things that will lead us to be in compliance next time, then they will release the funds, even though we're not compliant, just like they did last year.
I understand that. My question is, are you doing those things that will put us in a place to receive funding, all those things that you just listed?
I just talked to her Thursday. We just talked about this Thursday. I plan to do, if it's the right, you know, if it's
okay.
If I believe it'll bring us to fair market value, yes, sir, I plan to do that. But we just had this talk Thursday. We're just beginning that process. As I said, Jim Kyle is coming down Friday, and he's going to do studies, and he's going to say blah, 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 and I have already, at their request, one of our appraisers is working on the land values, studying those to see what we need to do.
On that memorandum number 3, Chuck, that might help them if you read that.
Taney County agrees to conduct a commercial index analysis with the assistance of the State Tax Commission staff to determine the commercial index for 2015. Upon the completion of this study, the Taney County Assessor will notify the State Tax Commission of the commercial index no later than November 20th, 2014.
So that gives you kind of a deadline of when's, you know, does that help you out at all?
No, I've read that. Yes, it does. Thank you.
My question is the issue with the State Tax Commission for several years has been an issue of raising the index. And so the question I guess I would have for you is on the residential, have we raised the index on the residential to satisfy their need? And are we going to raise the index on the commercial to satisfy their need? I guess that's my question.
Well, let me read you number one. It remains the position of the State Tax Commission that the index of 235, as originally proposed by the assessor, is appropriate. However, the county assessor is responsible for setting the values and shall determine the index for real properties. So, they made a very good plug that we needed, actually their number was 2.61, that's what they said we needed. They showed studies that said it needed to be 240 or 250. So Christian County is going to 235, to the 235 index. Stone County is at a 225 index with a commercial index, I believe, of 230 or 235. So I made the decision that we would plan to go to a 235 index for next year. After I made that decision, I got the facts that I got the knowledge that residential, we were in compliance. It's better, but we were in compliance. And so, well, if you want this whole story, then I'll go ahead and give it to you. After that, I had a conversation from Jan Elliott, and they seemed to be changing what they wanted from when I first came in. And I listened it all through, and part of it, the one that kind of rubbed me, quite frankly, was she said they were going to demand that we increase, this all has to do with the reassessment that we're doing. We can't get around the whole county in 2 years. And they told me that right up front. So Chuck, it'll take you 4 years, it may even take you longer. And so in this memo here, it talks about us. I've committed that we're going to get 44% of the county reassessed by closing the book next year. So the rest of the county will not have an index change next year. That was the original plan and what we talked about with the State Tax Commission, Bob Epperson specifically. So, Jan came out, she's his replacement, Bob Epperson's replacement, and she says to me they are going to demand that we, the following year in 16, the rest of the county, hopefully, or most of the rest of the county, will be reassessed by then and we'll put that index on it and change those values. That's when Jan, I didn't realize we could do that. I understood you could only change that on the odd number of years, every other year. She said, no, we can demand that. Again, it kind of rubbed me a little bit. And I said, she had made the statement in a nice way. She started the conversation, Chuck, I'm just going to shoot you straight. I said, Jan, that's the only way to go. And so after she got all through talking, I said, well, Jan, I'm going to do you the same as you did me. Hope you're like me. I'm going to shoot you straight. It seems to me you're trying to change what I was asked to do just 1 year ago. And it doesn't sit too well with me. And I found out that we're barely in compliance, and so I think I'm going to reconsider the index that I proposed. And so we went through that process, and that was part of the meeting that I had with the State Tax Commission. And if you read this, if you get time, read that again, and you'll see what they're saying, I think. They were happy for the 235 index for next year. But I said, I changed my mind. I think we need to take a shot at the 225 index. So they are saying in this memo, we think it ought to be 235, but we'll go along with the assessor. It's his job to do it. And so they're agreeing to release those funds.
The 80 plus thousand.
The 88,000, yes, sir.
What's the current index?
Current index is 2.02. And hopefully, again, the projection is 44% of the county will be reassessed.
At a higher?
By the close of book, 2015, next year, and that index will be applied. That index...
Will it be something that's just held in the computer, or will those properties actually receive... Valuation will change because of the index.
Valuation will change because of the index.
Okay.
With the exception. And the index has to do for verification, as you probably already know, but the Honeycutt cost system was established in the late 70s. Things have gone up, of course, so they start putting a multiplier in there. So now we're at a 2.02, so we're right at twice of what it was when they developed it in the late 70s. So that's all for this index thing. So we're talking about bumping it up just a little bit more. And this has been the battle with James for years. Danny and I said. So the problem is when you have a new property and it's built and you know what it costs to build it and you even have the sale, this is what it sold for. The 2.02 won't get close to value. So we have to raise the index to get it close to what it needs to be. The exception, Ron, that I've mentioned is there have been James in his process, they use the term doctored. I don't really like the term, but anyway, he would give, instead of it being a D, an average class house, he would make it a C or a B or something. Well, making it a higher class brings in a higher value for that house. And so that was the way he was getting values a little bit closer without changing the index. Well, they didn't like that. So that was one of their big issues when I started, so I commenced to have our staff bring them down to the right. Some were kind of already doing that, but bring it right as it should be by the book. Well, by doing that, you're dropping it. You're dropping the points we go by. So it's possible that those houses, even though you add a higher index because the numbers are down, the value is not going to change, which is okay, which is good because...
That's good for those property owners.
Well, no, because it's good because that group of houses were pretty close to value. They were in compliance, to use that term. They were close to the value they should be. So, anyhow, kind of hit a bump there, but it's a big nut to crack. And so if we continue as we... plan to and don't see any reason we won't. We'll have a different index next year. Some places won't have to see any change, possibly. Others will see an increase in value. Frankly, because the values that they were at were too low. They weren't up to value. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. You know, when this guy pays his on a fair value, on a right value, and this guy over here pays on half, this guy gets the bargain, but this guy is paying for his bargain. So you hear it over and over again. People just want to be treated fairly. If I'm paying on 90%, my neighbor ought to pay on 90%. And that's the whole issue. And the term is uniformity is in the state tax commission. So that's what we're trying to get to. So there's possibility some will go up, some won't change, some even could come down. There are some that are too high.
When you change the classification,
yes,
the value comes down and you apply
the new index,
it might go back up to where it was. But when you apply that new index to all the older homes, perhaps, that are still at the lower level,
mm-hmm.
they're going to jump dramatically.
Well, I wouldn't say dramatically, but they will go up, yes.
It's going to be dramatically to me if I've got to pay 16-25% more in taxes.
It's not. It won't be 16 or 25%.
It won't be.
No. The 202. I mean, going from a 202 to a 225 is approximately 10%.
Right. And the 35 would have been about 16%. I figured. But.
So if you have a property that is assessed correctly now, and you add the new index to it, you're looking at a 10% increase. Now, I might have to back up and say, that's significant. It will be to me. It will be to anybody that goes up 10%. You know, it depends what your place is worth.
But what we're looking at right now, if we follow the guidelines and whatever it is that you're prepared to sign, through 2015, if I'm understanding, 44% of the properties in the county are going to see that adjustment. Potentially, some of those are going to pay higher taxes.
Correct.
56% of the properties are not going to see the adjustment until sometime in the future.
Until 17.
Okay.
Unless they change something on us. And they said they wouldn't.
Now,
if the tax commission likes what you're doing, they're going to consider rewarding the county with sending us the money that I believe they owe us. But okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I just, talking about fairness and everything else, if I'm one of the 44%, I'm going to be pretty upset about the 56% for 2 years of higher taxes.
If you've got an option, I'd love to hear it. Excellent point, I agree. If you're a part of the 44%, unless you stay the same.
Back to our purpose, my reason for the additional questions is to find out as we prepare the budget for what the county's going to have to do to again prepare potentially for the state not reimbursing us. Because you have to have the money to operate. There are a number of counties in the state who are going to be diminishing staff because they anticipate they're not going to get the funding. I don't know what this county is going to do, but that's certainly going to be a consideration. But also, and back more so to the point, is your request for funds to make payroll. It's my intent as an individual county commissioner to make sure that you have funds in that special fund known as the assessment fund, so that we don't have to lay anyone off or not pay anyone for work that they provide. That's my intention.
Ron, you strongly spoke to that when I got here, and I've taken that to heart. And again, I had one elected official said, don't worry about it. Don't even bother them with it. But I didn't feel that was the right thing to do. I felt like I needed to tell you where we are, what we need. And again, I would, because as I said earlier, and Danny would probably agree with me, the county's going to battle this from here out. I mean, it's just the way, unless the state changes the process of the way they grade you to see if you're doing your job well, unless they change that, we're going to face this every year. And so, again, I would challenge you as you do your budget to put the monies in the budget, in the revenue side of the budget, so that we don't have, unless you want to do this every quarter or every last year or whatever the case we're doing, it doesn't matter to me. I'm enjoying my job. It's kind of a nice opportunity to explain to you what's happening. But the potential is going to be there from here out unless they change that process. So if you all would go ahead and put some revenues in the income part of the budget.
Let me explain, just so you know, one more time. I'm not going to let anybody in your office go ahead. When the time comes and we need to put cash in there, we will. Here's what's happened for my first three budget years of my four budget years in this term of office. I've sat down with the prior county assessor, and we've talked about this. And we put monies in the budget to be transferred in only if absolutely necessary because the state didn't come up with state funding. And I told James at the time, I said, if we put it in there, I want it back. So it's always been my intention to take those dollars back when the state finally comes up with the monies that they owe Tampa County. We've never gotten it back because we haven't been getting the state funding. And the $138,000 that we got, we had budgeted, I think, $160,000 for the full year. When we get $80,000, we're going to top the amount that we budgeted to come in for the state for the year. And we're going to be in great shape financially for the budget that we built for the assessor's office for 2014. And the concern, of course, is 2015. If we transfer money into your fund and then the state money comes in, and we want to transfer the money back out of your fund, that's an expenditure. And I can't expend more money within your budget for the fiscal year than what we built as the budget. So it's a real delicate line. If we budgeted $1 million, we can spend $1 million, not $1,080,000. It also shows us an expenditure to general county revenue when we transfer it out of general county revenue. This is just paper, I know, but this is how we have to operate. So Don, who's sitting here from the auditor's office, knows that I'm going to show an expenditure in general county revenue. When we spend it in the assessment fund, we're going to show that as an expenditure again. It's an unreal figure because there's only so many dollars that we have, but that's how they make us do the accounting for the budgetary process. So I don't want to put the money in there until I have to. That's me. For the reasons, I don't want to show the double expenditure. I don't know how else to say that. It's not you. It wasn't James, or it wouldn't be anybody else that's sitting in there. I just don't want to show the double expenditure if I don't have to.
Okay. The only question I would have is, can we then approve payroll on Monday, or do we have to wait until the funds are available? So do we have to meet on Tuesday or Wednesday?
Anytime that it comes necessary and we're not here, we can also, because of the emergency of having to fund that office, call in and take care of that. And we have done that in the past.
Well, Don, that brings me to another question. If you're interested in doing it that way, why wouldn't we approve today, because he's not going to get that funding by the 1st of November? Why not prove the amount that it takes to get that payroll for next time, get it approved today, because he's not going to receive it. They've told him November the 4th. I've sat through all kinds of this nonsense of when they're going to tell you that they're going to give you the money, and it didn't come. So Chuck knows that as well as I do. This index factor has been a crazy one. It was, at one time it was on older homes, then it was on newer constructed homes, and then it was a commercial situation. So there's all kinds of excuses not to give you the funding. From the tax commission. So I can't, I would be, if and I see your concern on the budget-wise, but I would be also...
saving us a step just in case?
Well, yes.
Don, what's the amount that would be needed for payroll?
$15,000? Well, there's a $22,000, and you'd have to explain that again to me, Brandon, that you brought up last week. That was the difference between the 100 and...
Well, that's the 100.
That was the difference that was budgeted between budget. What?
Right. But...
So what you're saying is that we could, in case of an emergency right now, agree with the treasurer sitting here as well,
yeah,
and the county clerk, to approve a transfer, if needed, of X amount of dollars to be moved, whether we're here or not.
Yes. That's what I'm...
How does the money come in from the assessor or from the state tax commission?
Comes to the treasurer.
They do ACH it? And what did they give you? So. They gave you the date of the 4th?
The term, I'm quite certain, was around the 4th.
Okay. Because it just says, upon all signatures to this memo of understanding, the state tax commission will release the $88,000. So I'm just wondering, to me, that says, hey, as soon as they get a signature, they've already signed it. So they're just waiting on your signature. And you said you signed it. It's been sent off.
Well, what a person could do is just wait till Monday. And you approve payroll and say we're going to approve $15,000 to go over there if that money had to come in, because that gives us all week if the chance that it would come earlier than
the
that.
The payroll is when?
I have to start it Monday. It's the 7th.
I don't have any problem with that.
Is it?
Brandon?
No, I don't have any problem with it. I think our views on...
Is 15 plenty or should we do 20?
Well, the deal would be is if... I don't know if Dixie's paid the dental and the life insurances or anything that's like that. If that comes into play, then you may want to put an extra $1,000 in there for that. I know medical won't be, next payment won't be until the end of the month.
Get back out.
What's your question again, Brad? How will we get it back
how
out?
How will we get the funds back out?
By transfer, if in fact they come in. But then it shows us an expenditure against Chuck's budget.
Right.
Correct, Don? Mm-hmm. So it shows as an expenditure when we transfer it over. It shows as an expenditure when it be transferred back.
It'll show as a revenue, though, when we transfer it back.
But it'll show as an expenditure
still show
to the
it,
assessment
yeah.
fund.
Right.
And my point is, we just won't be able to do it because we'll corrupt his annual budget. Because we'll reach a point where we're having more expenditures because of that.
Than what we budgeted.
Budgeted amount. That's just why I don't want to, in case we have to. But if we have to, we have to. I would.
It's a recommendation that we wait till Monday. Is that what you're saying?
And then make the decision. Let's talk with Don on Monday.
Yeah, that gives you time. If it comes in this week, then you don't have to worry about it. Then Monday, if it does come in Monday when you approve payroll, you just approved it. You can find out whether or not the money has been.
ACH.
And that just kind of covers
right?
us mm-hmm. to get it done.
Is that all right?
That's fine with me. Okay. It is, I want it on record that I'm in full intent to keep the office open, keep it running, and keep people paid. And any other expense that comes through that office, I've stated that from before.
We'll address it then on Monday. We'll do that specifically, Don. If you remind me, I'll put that on you to chat with me about that. And Melanie, of course, is sitting there. So,
and all other expenses, the dental and whatever medical.
Yeah, if the chance.
She's going to let us know what's.
She'll
needed.
Let us know if there's.
Y'all need me to come back Monday, or you'll take care of it regardless.
We're going to take care of it regardless, Chuck.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. I would be so reckless as to propose that
what has happened for the past several years is going to continue. No malintent towards assessor or previous assessor. It's just, it's the tax commission. Bid recommendation for propane heating system.
Good morning, gentlemen. This will be short and sweet, I hope, I think, compare by comparison, kind of quick.
Okay, is there a motion?
Oh, you're pretty close. We have two bid recommendations this morning that are associated with each other. The first one is for a propane heating system. It's bid number 201409-279. For the mechanics shop. This was requested to the purchasing department by Mr. Hayes, Road and Bridge, based on some quotes that they had taken for the need to put a heating system into the shop area of the mechanics building. After those quotes were received, it became apparent that the cost would exceed the bid limit, so as they usually do, and in fine fashion, came to me, and we put this out for bid on September the 24th. I contacted all the local HVAC vendors as well as distant ones and put out a bid invitation at that time with the detailed information. This bid was set to close on Monday last, a week ago today, the 20th of October, and in that interim we received only one response. That particular vendor had been required to make an on-site inspection, which he did. He submitted the response, which met the deadline, was opened here last Tuesday, and we documented the information of that response to come in at $10,711 for the propane heating system for the mechanics shop. Mr. Hayes took possession of that detailed information, has completed a thorough review, and I'll let him make his formal recommendation based on that review.
We have used this particular company, D&D HVAC Systems, previously, and they've been a good, reputable company, had good experience with them.
Not to interrupt you, but in fact, they are on a maintenance term and supply contract with us for all of the county facilities, with the exception of the judicial facility, which is a different type of system, EPM, and D&B has performed well during that interim that they've been under contract with us for term and supply needs here. However, the details of that particular contract would not have covered us for this new propane heating system for the mechanics, the building. That's why we put it out for bid. Sorry.
Go ahead, Randy.
This particular building is the one that we had the concrete and work order crew working out of. We're currently using it for doing a lot of work on our existing equipment trucks, prepping them for cleaning up and getting ready for paint. We want to continue working through the winter. It had electric heat system in there when it was first initially built, designed. That becomes too expensive to even pay the electric bill, so they since took them out. And so I had D&B earlier in the year just to look at this, see what would work good for this type of purpose. And he gave me kind of a ballpark figure at that time, and his actual bid came in a little price than what his initial
quote was,
and which is good. So that.
Right. What's your recommendation?
What's
your recommendation?
My recommendation is go ahead with D&B, even though we only have the one bid.
Motion for approval to D&B HVAC for the What building did you say it was? Mechanic shed?
Yeah.
Mechanic shed there at Casino's.
All right.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to award the bid to D&B for the mechanic shed, referencing bid number 201409-279. Discussion?
201404. According to my paperwork. Which is it?
201409-279.
Okay.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. The next bid recommendation on the agenda that we have, again, as I stated a minute ago, is in conjunction with the same facility. It is bid number 201409-280 for overhead shop doors, two of them. Same set of circumstances existed. The Road and Bridge Department had reached out for quote information, results indicating exceeding the bid limit, so they came to me requesting that this be put out for bid. Same exact process was followed by direct bid invitations to all available vendors in that particular commodity. It closed on October the 20th, last Monday. Scheduled to open the one and only response we received, and we opened said response on Tuesday last week. And that total was from the DH Pace Company, also known as Overhead Door Company of Springfield, doing business as such, for $10,307 for the two doors, overhead shop doors. Mr. Hayes took possession of that response as well, completed a thorough and complete review, and I'll let him explain those details and make his recommendation.
These doors are for the same building as the heat system. The building currently has roll-up type doors that are not insulated, hence it's not going to keep the building very warm. They should have had insulated doors put on there originally. So we need to change them, and I'll be able to utilize these particular roll-up doors at the Hilda facility on the wash bay. Then need to be replaced with the same type door that was on it. Works fine in there, but we just need to keep it above freezing. And we only got the one response, and that cost seems reasonable, what he bid, and I'm going to recommend we go with that overhead door company.
Motion for approval of DH Pace Overhead Door Company, and for the cost of $10,307 for the mechanic shop.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to award the bid to DH Pace, DBA Overhead Door Company, the cost of $10,307, known as bid number 201409-280. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I'd like to stand in recess for just a couple of minutes until we can bring our next guests back who were here and have stepped out. Linda, if you're listening, we're ready for insurance.
Oh, well,